things up again in the middle of Perek Gimel. The other question I would ask is, how do the authors of the Megillah know what Haman said to Achashverosh?
Ruach Kodesh. Or are they just making it up?
I mean, they were told what happened.
By?
Achashverosh.
Word for word, this is what happened. He never even told me that he wanted to kill the Jewish people. He was sitting there helping them author the Megillah. Oh, let me tell you what happened, because he loves us so much. Presumably not.
Someone tells me he wouldn't make fun of himself.
Right, so I think the authors of the Megillah had a certain... It is one of the supports that the Gemara uses to show that the Megillah was written Baruch HaKodesh, indeed. However, I think there's a point here that's being stated, that's being drawn out. But there are Perushim that say, like you. You know, there are those that go with that approach, that he had no idea. Achashverosh hated the Jewish people. So this is really wild and startling. Achashverosh tells Haman to keep the money. He hated the Jewish people? I thought he was partying with them. There was nothing wrong. He ordered kosher food. The first parak.
He did. No, he didn't.
That's what it says in the Gemara. It says that ain't onais. There was nothing wrong with the being at the party halachically.
Oh, I thought that there was. Okay.
No, there was no. Yeah, they're drinking with non-Jews. They're politicking with non-Jews. Those are the problems. But it was kosher food. They may have even had separate men and women seating. Maybe there was even a mechitza, who knows? Rabbi said, what happened here? Achashverosh hates the Jewish people? That he's ready to say, keep the money?
I mean,
when did that happen? When did that switch? Doesn't he owe a debt of gratitude to Mordechai? He likes Mordechai? I don't understand. What in the world took place? The Gemara says it's like a person who's got a big extra pile of dirt, and the other person in his field has a big hole, and the person with the extra pile of dirt says to the one with the hole, I'll pay you to let me bring my dirt. I have excess dirt. I don't know what to do with it. I got to get rid of it to make my garden look nice. I'll pay you to let me dump my dirt in your field. And the man with the hole says, you're doing me a favor. I've got a hole. By you putting your excess dirt here, you'll fill up my hole. No need for payment. So, with that analogy, what's Haman saying? I've got excess. The Jews, I got to get rid of them. What is Achashverosh responding? And I've got a problem. I've got Jews. You're going to take care of them? Gevaldik! That's amazing! You're going to take care of the Jewish people? Amazing. Keep the money. That's my problem too. When did we become a problem of the Jewish, of Achashverosh? And I want to point out, right, these two schools of thought would seemingly collide. They contradict each other. Either Achashverosh liked us or he didn't like us. Which one is it? And this is, I believe, the most important nakuda to keep in mind. Lev Melachim Biyad Hashem. It's a pasuk in Nach. The heart of kings is in the hand of God. If a king likes you or doesn't like you, you know who decides? HaKadosh Baruch Hu turns the switch. Now he's not going to. Hitler will like you, won't like you. Titus will like you or not like you. Nebuchadnezzar, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is pulling the strings. It was not Sharon's idea to give away Gaza. It was the Ribbono Shel Olam. That wasn't normal. It's not Obama. It's the Ribbono Shel Olam. And that's the Gemara that points out, every time it says Melech here in the Megillah, what does it mean? The Ribbono Shel Olam. If it doesn't say HaMelech HaChashverosh or HaChashverosh HaMelech, it just says HaMelech, it's talking about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If that's true, then at the end of this perek, where it ends saying "V'hamelach v'haman yashvu l'shtos," and the king and Haman sat to drink, the Ribbono Shel Olam was drinking with Haman. What does that mean?
aligned with him.
What?
He's aligned with him.
Yeah, it means that the Ribbono Shel Olam through Achashverosh. It means Achashverosh. Ba'amelech v'Haman yashvu l'shtos. They sat to drink. But Kadosh Baruch Hu is aligning himself with Haman and working through Achashverosh. Achashverosh is not in control over his ideas. And that's why in Perek Aleph and Perek Bet, if you recall, we continuously made fun, poked fun at how Achashverosh is like, uh-oh, now what do I do? And then some bright idea brigade comes up with a pretty awful idea and suggestion. He's like, oh! Baitava the verb in ML, why didn't I think of that? That's such a great idea. Of course, killer, right? Didn't you just say you can't kill? What do I do? What do I do? There's going to be a coup. Have a Miss Universe pageant. Brilliant! Wow. You guys are really lifesavers. Like, that's what I needed to know. Hello? Do you think? No, I don't. Not at all. The Ribbono Shel Olam twists my head. That's what's going on here. And comes a very scary pasuk. And it says, Mashcheni acharecha narutza. Now you'll hear what pshat is of Mashcheni acharecha narutza, and there's a hint to this phrase, Mashcheni acharecha narutza, a pasuk in Shir HaShirim, hinted at in Yedid Nefesh. Yedid Nefesh, Avarachman, Meshoch Avdecha El Ritzonecha. Mashcheni acharecha narutza. What does that mean? Mashcheni, draw me. After you, we will run. So comes the Medrash. Two different Midrashim. On that Pasuk, Shir Shirim Rabbah. Wild. Shir Shirim number one. There are two kinds of Kinyan Meshicha. Kinyan Meshicha means I'll draw something like this. I draw it towards me. Now let's say the Mishnah in Baba Kama says, I buy an elephant. I don't know if you want to pull it. To lift it and pull it is certainly out of the question. So this Meshicha is going to have to operate in a slightly different way. So there are two options. Option A, the Mishnah says, you go in front of it, call it by its name, Dumbo, and if it follows you, then it's yours. That was a Kenyan Meshicha. It responded to its name that you called. Showing, displaying your ownership, your mastery over the animal. If it doesn't budge, so then you go behind it and give it a patch. I don't know if I recommend doing this. It is an elephant. But that's the Mishnah. Go behind it, give it a zetz, and if it moves as a result, one way or the other, it may squash you, but it moved as a result of your zetz, so then that's a Kenyan Meshicha. Two ways to do a Kenyan Meshicha on something larger than you. Comes the Medrash and says, Mashcheni, draw me, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we daven to Hashem. Acharecha, after you, we will run. What does that mean? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in front, calling us. Ami, my nation, come. Lechtech acharei b'mar, come. And if we go just by him calling our name, yafeh. However, if we don't go when he calls our name, then what happens? We'll have to get behind us and hit us. Medrash Shir Shirim Rabbah. Ouch. Medrash number two. Yeah. And number two is that Rav Teichel writes in a separate place. Also, Shir Hashirim Rabbah on this very pasuk, Mashcheni Mishcheinai Haraim, from my bad neighbors, changes the vowels. Mashcheni Mishcheinai, from my neighbors, Acharecha Narutza, will end up running after you. In other words, my neighbors right now are wonderful. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if you overstay your welcome, will turn them against you. When did President Bush become an anti-Semite? Maybe never. Is Obama an anti-Semite? No, maybe not. I don't know. Will he put in place doctrines and policies that are against the Jewish people? Very possibly. Maybe yes, maybe no. Who decides? The Ribbono Shel Olam. It's not him. It's the Ribbono Shel Olam. Leiv Malachim, it's a pasuk. That's the story of the Megillah. Kadosh Baruch Hu keeps knocking. Kol Dodi Dofek. The voice of my beloved is knocking, as Rav Soloveitchik said. He keeps knocking. And we keep not answering. And the story of the Megillah is the story of, how did we know that? Why did that happen? He didn't even know that it was the Jewish people. He went for a Miss Universe pageant? What is going on in this whole story? The whole thing makes no sense. That's because the Rebbe Shalom is running the story. And there are many, many cases in life where it goes like that. So, they then send the letter. Okay, which day is slated for the destruction of the Jewish people? 13th of Adar. I'm going to give you a very quick summary of what took place. Third year of the kingdom, there was a party. Well, Vashti then also threw a party. So what did he do? Kills Vashti. Seventh year of the kingdom, crowns Esther as queen. How many years did it take? 4 years to find Esther. Okay. Then Achashverosh appoints Haman in his 12th year. Haman rises and picks 13th of Adar for Jewish annihilation. Okay, now, what takes place after that? Which day is it? And on 13th of Nisan, he picks the 13th of Adar for the Jewish annihilation. That's where we're holding right now, the 13th of Nisan. That's not written here, that's in the Gemara. Now, well, although it does say it is the Chodesh Nisan when this happens. It just didn't say which day it is. The Gemara learns it out from Yom Liyom. It's full, exactly the same day, from this day to that. Fine, so now, what do they do? What is Mordechai's reaction? Tears his clothing. Very good. Gets everyone to fast. 3-day fast. 14th, 15th, and 16th of Nisan, which is Erev Pesach, and the first 2 days of Pesach, there is a fast. 3-day fast for everyone. It says in the Megillah, Laila V'yom, that Esther was going to fast day and night, 3 days. I don't know what that means. Third day of her fast, what does Esther do? Esther goes to King and asks for tomorrow, another day, a party. When? Tomorrow. Fourth day, when she's no longer fasting, she goes and says, okay, there is a party, and she says, Haman wants to kill my people.
But that's the second party.
What?
Well, they have a party in between. Then there are two parties, and then the Haman.
Yeah, well, during the second party, that's when she...
Yeah, during the second party, not during the first one.
The first is the party today. Esther goes to King and asks for tomorrow. But they have a party.
Oh, that's a party.
Yeah, asks for a party. They go right away to the first party. And then at the party, she asks for tomorrow for another party.
So the first party is, well, she's still fasting.
It's the third day, yeah. Goes to King, has party, requests party, and asks for another party tomorrow. The next, on the fourth day, somewhere around in the middle of Pesach, there's this party. That's the big party. Haman wants to kill my Am. And what is Achashverosh's reaction? I can't believe it! Really? I'm out of here. And he goes for a walk and leaves the alleged murderer with his wife. Why did he do that? And he goes for a walk. comes back, and Haman's pleading for his life, falls on top of Esther. Achashverosh walks in, is like, are you trying to take my wife? He kills Haman. What in the world took place there? What happened? Why did he leave? Achashverosh doesn't know whose side to take. Who here is the real fan and supporter, and who's the fake? Does Esther? Haman wants to kill Esther's people. Maybe because the Jewish people, and maybe even Esther also, are out for my detriment. Or maybe Haman's got my back. Maybe he's got it in for me, and Esther's got my back. Right? Like, who's my supporter and who's not? He has no idea. So what does he do? Goes for a walk. Now keep in mind, what did he do as a result of Bigson Vaseresh? He put Mordechai in power? No. He did nothing for Mordechai. But in between here, what takes place? All of a sudden, in the middle,
comes the messenger.
Yeah. In between the third day and the fourth day, the king has a problem sleeping. Perek Vav, he has a problem sleeping. He wakes up and says, oh, what's going on? Well, you know, I can't sleep. Hey, someone get me the records. Why can't he sleep? Because there's a party going on the day before, the next day also, with Esther and Haman. He doesn't know, you know, things are brewing, but he doesn't know what's really going on, and he's paranoid. And he has no idea what's going on. And he wants to review history to see, am I missing something? Let me put my finger on where life is going. And they, lo and behold, happen to read to him about Mordechai. Okay, let me read about Mordechai. You know, nothing good has ever been... Why does now he want... Just in case the Jewish people are trying to kill me or something, or preparing some kind of rebellion, let me do something good for the Jewish leader. After all, he did something good for me. He is messed up. Right? The way that he would deal with Haman, the actual Mishneh LeMelech, is now what he's doing for Mordechai, which he should have done all along, right after the big Tanva Teresh story, and he did not. And how did we explain that? That apparently HaKadosh Baruch Hu was controlling the strings. And if that's the case, then we can possibly understand why Mordechai did not bow to Haman. Because you see, Mordechai understood who this individual is. He understood that was God made, God orchestrated. And so if it's not me, who would be the most logical, if actually logic would be running the world, then who is this individual? It has to be retribution time, punishment time for the Jewish people. It doesn't make sense. This no-name all of a sudden rises to power. That's Hitler. It's got to be. And Mordechai sees what's going on, and he recognizes this guy is Hitler. He's going to kill the whole Jewish people. My neighbor, when I lived up the hill, was Yirmi Gold. Yirmi Gold is Daphna's brother. And we're very close. And Yirmi Gold, Daphna's brother, told me the story about a Moskowitz family in Yerushalayim. Moskowitz family in Yerushalayim lived in Germany. And his neighbor had regular meetings that would get a bit rowdy, late night meetings. And so Mr. Moskowitz knocked on the door one day to ask his neighbor, you know, what are all of these meetings that you guys have? So he said, the truth is, I'm going to warn you. We're trying to take care of the Jewish people. We want to kill all of them. Mr. Moskowitz went back into his house and said, family, we're packing up and moving out. from Uvna Israel. He wants to, they're plotting to kill us. And I believe he's going to do it. Mr. Mautz's neighbor was Adolf Hitler.
What?
So, Moskowitz's family is living in Yerushalayim. Senior passed away. Mordechai looks at this fellow, Hamut. You're Hitler. You're a Amalek. You want to kill us. Why else are you in power? I should have been ridden through the streets now. I should be the Mishnah Lamelech. I don't understand what's going on. There's only one reason. If you know this guy's Hitler, you're going to bow to him. You'd bow to Ahmadinejad. You'd bow to Khomeini. Bow to him. No way. He wants to wipe out the Jewish people. I would never bow to him. And the biggest miracles of Purim, besides for what took place, which makes no sense, and how Hashem orchestrated everything. Number one, other miracles that go unnoticed. Everyone, the Jewish people, recognized we're in trouble, and they did tshuva instead of lynch Mordechai. They actually did tshuva. The tragedy of Megillas Esther is that at the end, there were people that made Aliyah, but unfortunately, not everyone. It's a sad piece. I don't know what to do with that piece. I'm terribly saddened by it. I would have expected everyone to make Aliyah after such an event. Didn't happen. Sad piece number two is Esther ends up stuck married to the fella. Sad piece number three, Mordechai stays stuck in Shushan politics. So there are some tragedies with this story. But the outrageous pieces of the story are all the coincidences that take place. And I just want to conclude with my favorite pasuk. I don't remember if I did this last week. But at the end, there was a big battle. The Jewish people killed a lot of people, 500 in Shushan. They asked for another day in which they killed 300 in Shushan, total of 800 in Shushan. 75,000 were killed in the rest of the country, in the rest of the countries. 75,000, it's a serious number. And the 10 sons of Haman were hanged. Now, if you take a look at Perek Tes, right after the sons of Haman are hanged, Esther goes to Ahasuerus and wants to ask for another day of fighting in Shushan. So she appears, okay, they had the first battle. When was the first battle? Oh, when is Haman hanged? So on the fourth day, Haman is hanged. A new decree goes out. A new decree goes out that Mordechai becomes the leader, the head of Beis Haman. He gets to be the Mishnah Lamelech. Mordechai sends out a new edict that the Jews can fight back. Sends letter with the insignia of the king. When would that did that letter go out? 23rd of Sivan. 2 months, basically, after this took place. Why did it take so long? Kasha Atzum. Huge question. I have my sheet of why it took so long.
What happened with the first declaration? Haman's declaration?
He refused to rescind it. He refused to revoke it.
So why weren't Jews killed?
Why weren't Jews killed?
Yeah, like they didn't cancel.
It was a battle.
They didn't send out that message until later.
No, the Jews are supposed to be killed the 13th of Adar. This is the 23rd of Sivan. We still have plenty of time. 10 months. LaYehudim haisa'ora v'simcha v'sason v'ikar happened on the 23rd of Sivan. When the Jews got the message from the kingdom that we're allowed to defend ourselves, the Jews had a party in the streets. Very strange, but the Jews had a party in the streets when they got the letter saying we could defend ourselves. They did not dance in the streets when they heard that there's no more war, there won't be a war, the war was canceled, they won't be annihilated. No, they had no idea what was going to happen. On the 13th of Adar, there was a battle. And they killed 75,000 in world and 500 in Shushan. On the 14th of Adar, world celebrates, Jewish world celebrates, Shushan goes to battle again, and they kill another 300. 15th of Adar, Shushan parties. There are two parties, the world and Shushan. Two battles, 13th and 14th. Last Pasuk. Perek Tes, Pasuk Yud Aleph. Yud Aleph and Yud Bet. Vayomahu, on that day, Bumis Barar, Ogim Shushan, Abiyarlof Ne'amelch. The death toll was reported to the king. Vayomer Amelch, again, Perek Tet, Pasuk Yud Bet. Vayomer Amelch, Lester Malka. The king says to Esther Malka, B'shushan Abira, Harko Yehudim Va'abed. If you were doing this as a play, you'd have to figure out how to read this. I'm going to first read it as a monotone with no intonation, and then we'll try to figure out the proper intonation to read this pasuk with. B'shushan Abira in Shushan, the capital, Hargu Yehudim Va'abed. The Jews killed and wiped out Chamesh Me'osesh, 500 people, Beit Aseret B'nei Ammon, and the 10 sons of Haman. B'shar Medinot HaMelech Me'asu, and the rest of the countries of the king, what have they done? And what request do you have and will be given to you? And what's your request and will be done? I did not add any intonation. I did not suggest if he's happy, angry, sad, pondering, questioning. Rabosai, this pasuk makes no sense whatsoever, and I want you to appreciate every second of it. It's written again as a joke, making fun of our good old Ahasuerus, Ahasuerus, and it's really enjoyable. My favorite pasuk in Tanakh. Vayomer HaMelech l'Ester Malka. The king says to Esther Malka, in Shushan, the capital, you Jews killed 500 people and the 10 sons of Haman, murderers! How dare you! I didn't even know what you did in the rest of the country. B'shar Medinot HaMelech Me'asu, what have you murderers done? Smack. I'm sorry. Where was I? My princess, my queen. Ma'asheh l'seich v'inasein lach. What else would you like? U'ma bakasha seichod v'teyas. What else can I grant you? The Rebbeinu Shalom steps in and says, hey, you're talking to my princess over there. I don't like the way you're talking. And he smacks him. And he's like, I'm sorry, where was I? What would you like? He says, another day? Sure. Okay. Take another day. That is the story in a nutshell. If you want to keep these pages, you're welcome to. So you have the firm story. Hello, Avi.